Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Interesting story from the New York Post. The dreaded reclining economy airline seat could soon vanish for good. Quoting here from aviation experts who say this is a blessing in disguise.
It couldn't happen soon enough.
Nope. Is the recline on the decline?
Hopefully.
Says the New York Post. Sardine can airplane seating could soon become the norm, as artificial intelligence previously predicted. Flight experts claim that the reclining seat could soon be scrapped amid soaring concerns over space, fuel cost, and even in-flight kerfuffles. The dreaded I'm coming back, when no one ever says, hey, I'm coming back. You know, we've seen fights over this. We've seen people kicked off of airplanes.
Not to mention that 5 degrees of leaning back is not helping you sleep. You're still sitting upright.
It really is not. And in fact, several years ago, Delta, United, American, and Southwest scaled back coach seat recline space to an average of, you want to guess?
4 degrees.
2 inches.
2 inches. Wow.
2 inches. So you're not even reclining when you're reclining. All right, I had mentioned this before the break. It is a sad day in Kansas City for radio listeners, radio fans, all over our town, because a voice that has been known across our airwaves for more than 30 years is silent today. And officials over across the street at 101 The Fox announced this morning that much-loved radio DJ Brian Slacker Adams had lost his battle against cancer. And I'm going to quote here from their Facebook post. Slacker had two great passions, his family and his time on the air in Kansas City. For more than 33 years, the last 16 at 101 The Fox, Slacker loved to entertain his radio audience. He had previously announced he was battling AML, or acute myeloid leukemia, a blood and bone marrow cancer. He announced with a heavy heart at the end of February that he had made the decision to retire in conjunction with his family and his doctors. And we are so thankful and appreciative that Max Floyd, a long, long time legend and staple on the Kansas City airwaves, has decided to join us for a few moments. I know it is such a sad day for all of you who knew him and loved him, Max, and we are so sorry today.
You know, we knew it was going to happen, but it still hurts what it does. And he tried so hard. We thought it was going to work. We really did. But the stem cells and everything we did, and he went through so many tough days when he was in the KU hospital. It's funny. I texted him every day something amusing that he could maybe laugh about and get through those days. And I found out, and I never heard back from him. And I found out later I'd been sending it to the wrong number. So
there was that.
Too bad. Yeah, I'd love to have that material back. I could use it today,
right?
But I don't have it anymore. He asked me about, I guess, a month ago. He said, I know it's hard for you, but I want you to speak at my celebration of life that they're going to do. And he said, I want you to do something, because it'll be a lot of tears. I want you to do something humorous. And I said, oh, Slacker, man. I don't think I can do that. He said, please, I want you to. So I will try and try to do that. I do have a lawsuit against him, though, because he admitted to me not long ago that his entire act was copied from me.
And yes.
So I have sued him, and I hope it works out okay. But no, he's just one of the great guys and was, and I loved him so much. And we talked over the years. We just ran out of time. We didn't run out of things to say. I was with him for a few moments back in the Cape Horn 2 days when we did some afternoons together, and he's just one of the best audiences that you ever had. You know, he could be a straight man or a comic one way or the other, and he was just so good on the air. And he worked himself up and became such an icon in the city. And people loved him. Everybody loved Slacker. You can't find anybody that didn't like him. You know, it's just great.
Leaves behind a wife and a daughter. And the station said today that if you choose, he asked that you pray for his family and all who are affected by cancer and pick up the phone and talk to that friend that you haven't gotten around to talking to today, because Slacker would like that.
He had told me about, I think it was last week I saw him last. He said, "Max, I'm ready. I got to go. I'm ready. I'm too tired. I can't sit here and do this." And I said, "Slacker, we're not ready." But we told him he could go, and he was ready this morning. And they texted me this morning, and I was very sad and still am. And I'll miss him forever. And every day that he's not with us, it will be a sad day for us. But we'll have some laughs, and that's what he would have wanted. And that's what we'll make that happen for him.
Would you talk just a little bit, Max, because you were on the air so many years here in Kansas City, that just a 33-year career, the career that he had, and really in today's day and age, how difficult it is to have the career that he loved and his audience loved him, and to have that relationship with the audience over such a long time, really is a testament to how good it was that he was at what he did.
He worked for about four stations here, and frankly, I haven't been able to find a job in any town that I was fired in, but he worked for four stations, and he just worked himself crazy, making sure that he was a personality that was going to make it in this town. You know, first time I ever thought of him was when he peeked into the window over on Signal Hill, and I think Marty Wall was in the air, and Marty had him come on and do an intern thing, and that's when they named him Slacker. And then he just came on, and he did some stuff with Doug Medlock, and he did some stuff by himself, and he produced the Max Denimovich Show for a while, and he just all those stuff, and he absolutely just took over the town. He was just great on and off the air, and people loved him. I was with some people today out at one of the lunch places, and they said he would come in and say, "Okay, what can I do to help your place?" You know, the guy was great, and everything he did was for the community. And I'm so proud to call him my friend, and I miss him so much.
Well, we are just so sorry, and wanted to offer our condolences to the entire radio community. It's a tight family, as you know, Max, and all who loved Slacker, and our thoughts are with his wife and his daughter, and all who loved him today. We are so very sorry.
He was the best of us.
Be well, Max. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
913-586-7798. We are back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead. And I see that people are texting in with their thoughts about this loss today. And we appreciate that. I know his family and friends would appreciate that. But it's a tough day. We are all competitors. But as I said to Max, it is a very, very small fraternity for those of us who do what we do here in this town, both radio,
he's a legend.
Both radio and television. It is a very small fraternity. His friends all called him a legend. I think anyone who's on the air for 33 years deserves that. And he certainly deserves a nod and a mention on our program today. And I know Scott would have wanted that as well. We're back with much more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Some breaking sports news, Sam. What did you just say to me?
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, we started talking a whole lot about Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers and whether or not he was sports betting.
Yep.
Of course, the federal probe came out and said that it was his interpreter who was doing the sports betting. But that claimed all of the attention in the sports betting world. Now, and what was happening underneath, and as a secondary story that entire time, was a former MU basketball player, Jonte Porter, who was an NBA player for the Toronto?
Okay.
Yeah, he was an NBA player for Toronto. He was also being investigated because the sports books saw extreme interest in random prop bets surrounding Jontay Porter. So you know the prop bets, he's going to score X amount of points, things like that. They saw a whole lot of money flooding into certain prop bets for Jontay Porter.
Involving him.
Uh-huh. And all of them paid out.
Oh, my gosh. This is why they're saying you should not have prop bets for specific players and specifically for collegiate players where, like, let's say one of the prop bets is you think Caitlin Clark is going to score 6 3-pointers, but she only scores 5, and then people start screaming at her and bullying her and saying horrible things, like death threats, that kind of thing. It never even occurred to me that on top of that, you could easily... What's the word I'm looking for? Well,
throw the game.
Throw the game. I mean,
in a sense,
not
yeah.
really throw the game.
You're throwing the game as a player on the team.
If you're a player and there's a prop bet on you, does that not open up the window immediately for fraud?
So what caught the sports book's eye was that there was an $80,000 bet that Jontay Porter would hit a certain number in a game.
Okay.
There was
like
a certain
number of scores total.
It doesn't specify what the exact bet was, but I meant it probably had to do with either steals, blocks, you know,
right.
One of the big stats in the NBA. And that $80,000 bet was part of a parlay that was going to pay out $1.1 million.
Wow.
Sure enough, Jontay Porter did not reach any of the stats in the parlay. It paid out. The sports book froze the payout because they said something fishy's going on here and they started looking into it. The news today, the update, Jontay Porter has been banned from the NBA.
Wait a minute.
Banned.
He has been banned.
He's gone. Out.
Okay, but let me ask you this. This says none of the bets that we're talking about were on games in which he played. 3 of the bets were parlays, which means you have to have multiple correct results. With one calling for a Toronto loss, he ended up, this is according to NBC News, profiting $21,000 from the wagers that he placed.
The game in question was on March 20th, where Jontay Porter, the league found out that he gave a better information about his own health status prior to the
game.
There
it is.
And so then they placed a series of bets based on that health status information, which was going to net a massive payout.
But go back to what I was asking. They're not necessarily saying that, okay, he bet on himself to score... 6 3-pointers from a bookie. It's not necessarily that. It's more giving information. But go back and hang with me here. What I'm asking is what would prevent any athlete from doing that? Let's say I play for the NBA and there's a prop bet out there that says I'm going to score 6 baskets. And I know that. So I give you, Sam, $1 million and then I try my darndest to score those 6. And then after I have shot 6 baskets, I don't score again because I know that bet is then going to pay out. This is the problem with prop bets, is it not?
I mean, I would agree. I still think that the NCAA prop bet conversation was less about the bullying and more about the manipulation of the game. You could manipulate
it as a single player in a way that you really, it's harder to manipulate as a team.
But you can't ban an individual, whether he's an athlete or not, from seeing a betting line. What you can do is ban them from betting on it. The league investigation also found that he placed 13 bets on NBA games. Again, none of them involving Toronto Raptors.
Let me read the NBC story because this makes more sense to me. He is alleged to have disclosed confidential information about his health to an individual he knew would be betting on the NBA ahead of the March 20th game. Okay. He claimed to suffer from an illness during the game and only played 3 minutes. The $80,000 online bet that you're referencing, Sam, was placed ahead of that game, stating that he would, quote, underperform.
Right. So
it was
a parlay betting the under, basically.
Betting the under. Yeah. And of course that under is going to hit because he's sick. And it told the guy, I'm not going to play. I'll play 3 minutes and then get me an IV bag. I'm sick.
But according to the injury report, according to what Vegas had knowledge of, he was going to play.
Oh, okay.
So they set the line accordingly. And he told people, no, I'm going to be sick after 3 minutes.
Okay. So then not to be a conspiracy theorist, what possible benefit would there be for a player to breach those rules so completely and tell an NBA bettor that I'm sick, but no one else knows it. Bet the under. What possible motivation would there be?
because the better may or may not be his friend and may or may not give him a cut from the $1.1 million payout.
Bingo.
Yeah.
They're not, I haven't read anywhere that that's why you would do this, but why would you risk your entire career
to
wink and nod at somebody that you should bet the under because I'm not feeling good tonight? God.
They found direct evidence that he made bets through a third party's online betting account.
I mean,
bye.
Are the agents not talking to the players about this because we keep seeing it, or is it just in the news since the first big case and the guy that got caught?
I think, again, this story in and of itself was overshadowed by Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter.
Well, because everyone thought it was the player that was making the illegal bets. And I want to be clear, it turned out it was his interpreter that basically robbed Ohtani blind.
Anyway, the former Mizzou grad will no longer be playing in the NBA. I really hope that he enjoyed. Oh, wait, he didn't get any money for it.
He literally lost his entire career.
Yep.
Over telling someone that he was sick, place the under.
And the third party individual lost about 80 grand, I'm assuming half of which
he's 24 years old, by the way. 24 years old and played in 26 games. Wow. Huh. All right. 913-586-7798. When we get back, are big box stores collecting your data? And I don't mean your credit card data. Are they collecting your face? Your fingerprints? There's a class action lawsuit that suggests one of the most popular stores is doing just that. Talk about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks. We're back with more after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Did he just say middle 50s tomorrow? Oh, Neville, come on, man.
It's still spring. A high of 63 tomorrow, low of 42.
Oh, it gets worse if you look further out.
Oh, yeah. On Saturday, it's going to be a high of 56, low of 39.
On. It's mom's weekend. No.
Bring your jacket. What was it? A Healy something?
Helly Hansen.
Bring your jacket. Don't forget it. Don't lose it.
All right. When was the last time you traveled, like to Mexico or whatever, like I did for spring break, and actually made a phone call to your cell phone company to make sure you are covered? Because I'm going to tell you this. I just assume I'm covered, and this next story is going to prove to all of you why that is a very, very bad idea. The man's name is Rene Redmond. He lives here in the United States. And he has just revealed the moment he received a six-figure bill after a short holiday to Switzerland went horribly wrong. Rene and his wife, Linda, made the trip last September, a journey the pair had previously been on, given it is where he is originally from. As always, Redmond ensured that his mobile phone provider was notified of his travels. He even went into the store to tell them, "I'm going to Switzerland." He says as a customer of 30 years, he was told he was covered. Then they get back from Europe and they get the bill from T-Mobile. And he says, at first it didn't bother me very much because I read it was $143. He says it wasn't until he went to pay the bill that he realized there were several more zeros involved. I looked at the bill and said, excuse me, $143,000. While enjoying the Swiss countryside and sharing some of the magical sights of the trip via photo messages to friends and family, not once did Redmond think the text messages he was sending could be racking up thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in daily roaming costs. In fact,
like it when you internationally roam.
He racked up 9.5 gigabytes of data while in Europe, costing him thousands of dollars each day. And while that amount of gigabytes isn't considered a large amount of data, it says, not being covered by roaming fees will cause you to run up thousands of dollars very quickly. I called T-Mobile, he says. The girl put me on hold for a while. I bet she did. She said, let me check this out and get back to you. She gets back and says, yep, that's a good bill. What do you mean it's a good bill, he says. Well, she said, this is what you owe. I said, you're blanking kidding me. You are crazy. He hired a lawyer to argue the fact that he was covered for international roaming. I got to ask you about this because the last time I went out of the country, which was what, a month ago or two, I didn't even ask. I think I texted Chris and said, hey, I'm making sure, like, I'm going to Mexico. Do I need to worry about data roaming or, like, I'll join the Wi-Fi as soon as I get there? He said, no, we're fine. You're covered. How is it possible that you're covered for phone calls and you are not covered for text messages? I don't understand that.
Well,
if he walked in and said, you know, I'm going to Switzerland, and T-Mobile said, yeah, you're covered, wouldn't they have said, unless you text? That's what most of us do.
I don't think he was covered for phone calls because the cost is the phone having to connect to the tower there locally and then transmit to a satellite and back to wherever he is sending.
Oh, my gosh.
That call or text.
Listen to this. In an email issued to the local television affiliate in Tampa, that's where he's from, T-Mobile said customers should always check the travel features of their plan, such as, quote, international data roaming, before you depart. If a customer is on an older plan that doesn't include international roaming for data and calling, they need to make sure they're using airplane mode. So apparently maybe he had the calling roaming feature, but not the data roaming feature. Last year, activist and author Sally Rugg was slapped with a $720 fee 2 minutes after she touched down in London because her phone fired back up and she started sending text messages the way we all do when we're waiting for everybody to get off the plane. Now, I think they have worked this out and they have agreed to pay for, I don't know if they paid for all or part of the bill, but if you go into the store and they tell you you are covered, is that somehow still on you if you are not? I mean, to me, him physically going into the store changes things. It's not like you picked up the phone and asked someone at a call center and they're like, yeah, you're good. He physically went into the store. And when was the last time any of us read the fine print in our cell phone contract? The answer is at the intersection for me of never and I haven't done it. Let's go to Sean in Olathe. Hello, Sean. Welcome on in.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Hey, so I've had T-Mobile for several years, and the reason I went with them is because they've always had this long-standing contract that overseas you have free data and free messaging. And I've used it for years.
Free data, free messaging.
Free data, free messaging. Now, picture messaging is the same as a text message. It's just a bigger file. So I have never been upcharged. That's how I communicated with my wife and my children. Data, we got WhatsApp. So that's phone calls over data. So we use that for phone calls. And I never had any extra charges. and I've been to 49 different countries.
But Sean, you must have an updated plan, and he must have one of the older plans, because what they're saying is,
I got this plan 18 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just retired this past Sunday, so I mean.
Congratulations. Good.
Thank you very much. But that's why I chose this plan, was because they have always had free data and free messaging overseas.
Sean, thank you for the call. And at least you know that. I have no idea. I have no idea what that plan says. None. And that is on me. I mean, we are the consumer. It is up to you to know what you have signed up for and what you have paid for when you go overseas. But $143,000 because you sent some text messages? Oh, my God. I would die. I would absolutely die.
Well, and what continues to not make sense to me is that if he was using an iPhone, that's data-driven anyway. So Wi-Fi would have taken care of it.
I don't even know what that means, Sam. Let's go to Barb in Odessa. Hi, Barb.
Hi, and happy belated birthday, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you so much.
Did you have a good one?
I did. It was wonderful.
I heard you went out of town. I'm glad you had a safe one. That's the main thing.
It was good. Thank you so much.
The question I was going to tell you, I have a cell phone, and it's my friend. I have a girlfriend that lives in Canada, and I can't call her anymore because they want to charge me $39.99 plus tax for an extra line for me to call her because I cannot call her on this phone, which I could when I lived before in Independence. But when I moved to the lake and came back up here, they won't accept it.
Really? Can't you change your plan, Barb? You want to call them and change your plan so you can call?
Well, I did. He said, no, that's the way it has to be. They can't do anything about it. Mm. It has to be an extra $40 charge.
Barb, I don't know. I think you should call and ask for a supervisor.
Well, that's what my son said, so.
See?
Okay, honey, have a great day.
Thank you, sweet Barb. Always a pleasure to hear from you. I love that woman. I never knew what the WhatsApp was, by the way, until Sophie went to study in London. And that is how we chatted back and forth.
Oh, yeah. WhatsApp is golden for folks traveling overseas.
All right. Listen to this lawsuit from Fox Business News. An Illinois woman has filed a class action lawsuit against Target, accusing the real estate giant of collecting and storing biometric data, including face and fingerprint scans, without her consent in violation of state law. Her name is Arnetta Dean. And she filed the lawsuit this week with the intention of preventing Target from further violating the privacy rights of state residents. She's also looking for statutory damages. She is claiming in this suit that Target surveillance systems, including cameras with facial recognition technology, surreptitiously collect your biometric data without any of us knowing it.
They all do it.
I was going to say, are we sure this is just Target? Pretty sure anytime you walk in anywhere, they're doing this. Anyway.
Walmart uses it 100%.
She says Target does not notify customers of this fact prior to store entry, nor does it obtain consent prior to collecting its customers' biometric data. According to the lawsuit, Target violated the state's Biometric Information Privacy Act, BIPA, by collecting, storing, and using biometric information without obtaining written consent from customers. Now, this did pass in Illinois in 2008, which states that companies there are prohibited from collecting, storing, or giving out the data without providing consent. But here's where this story puzzles me. She said fingerprint data. When have you gone into Target and handed over your fingerprint? I've never done that.
That one seems like a bit of a stretch to me, but when it comes to facial recognition or that data, hello security cameras, literally every company has them.
Yes, but Sam, I will say this. If they use that biometric data to then accuse you of theft and it's not you or you didn't steal anything, that's on them. That to me is a legitimate lawsuit because we've had those cases happen.
Well, I would agree. And if they start banning you from the store based on false pretenses because they think that you are somebody else who did steal from the store, then you have a lawsuit. But
why collect the data? Help me out with this. Unless you are a serial shoplifter, why would they collect? Because the money that you're paying for those systems isn't for the system.
It's loss prevention.
It's for storage. It's storage.
Yeah.
So why would they collect it and store it? Why?
It's loss prevention. They don't know who's going to be a burglar and who's not. So they collect the data at first.
That would be bajillions of dollars to do that.
Well, I'm sure they only keep it for a certain amount of time. It probably has like a 24, 48-hour turnover where it deletes all of the data.
I'm curious if any of you have ever, for any reason, used your fingerprint, which I would never do, like to pay for something, or like why is the
I'm really confused where the claim of the fingerprint would come from, and I can't think of anything. I've been in a Target many, many times that would even be able to collect my fingerprint.
I'm telling you, I would never, ever, 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 ever with a retail store hand my fingerprint over. Not happening.
The only thing I could possibly think of is if they had some weird technology in a door handle. Oh, wait, the doors are automatic.
No, it wouldn't be a door handle. Target's advanced system of electronic surveillance includes operating 14 investigation centers. Oh, here we go. Here it is. And two forensic labs to enhance video footage and analyze fingerprints, according to the lawsuit, which notes that the system was created to detect shoplifters, but also captures customers' faces every single time they enter or leave the store. So there, the allegation in the lawsuit is that Target runs its own lab with investigators who look at the surveillance. Dakota in Kansas City. Welcome on in. Hi.
Hi. I don't know if Target specifically does it, but I know a lot of companies are going to fingerprint scans for clocking in and out, logging in and out of registers. Like a lot of the safes use it now.
A lot of the safes use it now? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You know, if an employer says to you, you have to give us your fingerprint or else you can't work here, that's one thing.
I work for a company that you use your fingerprint as your ID.
Okay, and you know that when they hired you, that this is how we do it.
It's much more convenient for me than having to remember a password.
That's a lot different. That's a lot different to me than a private company getting your fingerprint off of, especially if it's merchandise. How many people have touched that merchandise? Like, let's say I pick up a candle and I look at it, I smell it, take the lid off of it. Yep, put it back down. Okay, my fingerprint is now on that.
Yes, then, but no, Target is not going in and dusting.
No. Then someone comes along, Sam, and steals that candle. I didn't steal the candle, but my fingerprint is on that candle.
They are not.
This says they have a lab. This says they have a lab.
They are not dusting products for fingerprints.
I don't know. I guess if you stole it, they wouldn't have your fingerprint on it because it's been stolen.
How are they going to dust it?
586-7798. More on this topic straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. I cannot believe that I'm sitting here reading this story from corporate Target. This is from corporate Target.
12 years ago, by the way.
Unbeknownst to most, Target has a top-rated forensic services laboratory that provides forensic examinations and assists outside law enforcement with help on special cases. Target's lab is among 390 crime labs accredited by the American Society on Crime Lab Directors, which underscores Target's commitment to quality forensic work. Team members work at the lab. They come from a variety of backgrounds, including forensics, criminal justice, and the FBI. They talked to one of the employees who is a Target lifer. He has worked in asset protection for 16 years. Most people don't know what we do. We are a small team with a specialized skill set. People usually find out by word of mouth about all the cool things we're able to do, processing, examining, and cataloging evidence on countless cases. Fingerprinting that evidence, Sam.
Oh, I've got it right in front of me.
And then handing it off to case investigators. They are fingerprinting things.
You weren't wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
They do dust products. You were 100% correct. They dust products. And it's all about building a database to see who is stealing from them more often than not so that they can build a actual legitimate case against them. So what they'll do is they'll see somebody on camera steal something. They will then go and watch that person walk through the entire store. What did they touch? What did they pick up? What did they put back down? They will then go collect those items very meticulously to then be dusted for said fingerprints. They will also take the coupons that you put in the bottom of the register. They will take those and dust those for fingerprints.
But how many different people have touched that crap? That's where I start getting very uncomfortable with this. Because you might walk in right after I do. I've already picked up the candle. I just gave you this example. Now you pick up the candle. Well, my fingerprints are on that. It doesn't mean I've done anything wrong.
They will go look for something that that person touched. And only that person touched.
I have to go in wearing gloves like OJ the next time I go to Target?
Or you just stop going to Target.
I cannot believe we're talking about this. Marcus in Independence. Hi, go ahead.
Hey, Dana. Well, first, I will say, I think if Scott was here today, he'd say this is a Chamber of Commerce day.
Beautiful it is. Day yeah, until this
in
weekend.
In Kansas City. Okay, so I was going to say, at Target, Walmart, where does most of the theft occur? And I think if you talk to those companies, they will tell you that most of the theft occurs in a certain way of people using self-checkout, scanning some inexpensive items, and not scanning other expensive items. So, and then loading it all into their cart together and then leaving the store. A friend of mine that I went to law school with, she's handled multiple cases of people being contacted by the police department months or, you know, weeks, months after shopping at Walmart self-checkout. And on several of the cases, Walmart was incorrect in that the camera just didn't catch the right angle of how they were scanning something. And so these companies will go back, they'll look through their inventory, then they'll say, use AI, go through our cameras, how many people had this $100 item in their cart, and then look and see how many people paid for this, how many people didn't pay for that. And so, yeah, they do have these top-notch crime labs. But I was going to say one more thing about Walmart, Target. What people are forgetting is how many times you may or may not be giving your fingerprint, because when you go through self-checkout, which everywhere is self-checkout nowadays.
It's a touchscreen. Yep. I saw what you're going to say, Marcus. It is a touchscreen. You are absolutely right. I'm going to start wearing latex gloves everywhere I go like a serial killer.
I'm going to Walmart, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Walmart, here I come.
Back with much more after the news. Stick with us. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.